WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
The novelist and short story writer Barry Hanna died of a heart attack Monday. He was 67. We're going to listen back to an excerpt of the interview I recorded with him. Larry McMurtry called Hanna the best fiction writer to appear in the South since Flannery O'Connor. William Styron described Hanna as an original, one of the most consistently exciting writers of the post-Faulkner generation. Hanna wrote about the American South. He grew up in Mississippi and taught for many years at the University of Mississippi. He won the William Faulkner Prize and was a National Book Award finalist. When I spoke with him in July 2001, his book Yonder Stands Your Orphan had just been published. The title borrowed a line from the Dylan song, It's All Over Now, Baby Blue. There are orphans and guns in the novel and plenty of evil as a killer changes the lives of everyone around him. Hanna wrote the book while getting chemotherapy treatments for lymphoma. Here's Hanna introducing a short reading from the book.
This is Man Mortimer, who is the evil that lurks in this book, and he likes to cut people. He comes from Missouri. And there's a little piece about him. At this juncture, he had no plans to hurt people around the lake. He did not like bodies of water much, had never seen the ocean. He was indifferent to trees. Soil was hateful to him, as was the odor of fish. But like many another man, 45 years in age, he wanted his youth back. He wanted to have pals, sports, high school girls. This need had rushed on him lately. He lived in three houses, but he had no home. He did not like the hearth, smells from the kitchen, an old friend for a wife, small talk. It all seemed a vicious closet to him. He moved, he took, he was admired. But he had developed a taste for young and younger flesh. This was thrilling and meant high money. Men and women in this nation were changing, and he intended to charge them for it. Religion had neither formed nor harmed him. Neither had his parents in southern Missouri. But he despised the weakness of the church and of his parents, whom he had gulled. He was a pretty boy born of hawk-nosed people. He was a curse to have these looks and no talent. Long, lank, hooded eyes, sensual lips that sang no tune. Still, he quit the football team because of what it did to his hair, claiming a back ailment that had exempted him from manual labor since age 14. There are thousands of men of this condition, most of them sorry and shiftless, defeated at the start. Many are compulsives and snarling fools, emeritus at 20.
Is this character of Man Mortimer based on anyone?
No, he's not. He's a compound, and I've gotten, just by looking around and believing that I perceived evil in front of me. So it is imaginative, but a collected history of my impressions, I believe.
You describe him as a quiet man, a gambler, a liaison for stolen cars, and a runner of whores, including three Vicksburg housewives. Describe his kind of crime.
His kind of crime is a kind of crime that begins out of laziness and being admired by women. He finds he can make a living at it, and he continues since he ran away from home in high school. He's not been particularly violent, but he has induced violent suicides in others. He is a thief. He has a stolen car ring, especially expensive SUVs. He's a man who doesn't like to work, and he doesn't like much of what's offered by nature. So I feel him as an alien without real pals and only a commercial connection to women. He wants to join in society now, but he only knows how to hurt. And that's the base of the book. Evil, what it reaches out to you, when it befriends you. And in Mortimer's case, he likes to use a knife. He's dangerous, and he has made quite a deal of money off the casino life around Vicksburg.
Has evil like Man Mortimer's kind of evil ever come into your life?
I've been around it. Usually, evil is something you can't face. It simply has to wear out. Sometimes you work for evil unwittingly, and I can't think of a particular person right now, but I think I've felt the closeness of evil in casinos, and it brings out the old Baptist in me. I find the wretched excess and the sort of zombified folks that attend and participate in casinos pathetic and also dangerous in many cases.
Now, what about violence? There's some violence in this book. Has violence come into your life? Have you witnessed it? Have you ever had a violent streak yourself?
I like to throw knives back in my drinking days, but no, I've never been personally violent. I can't be an honest man, though, and tell you, but that I am occupied by violence. It seems to be out of my nightmares, and my wife wishes I wouldn't write about violence, but as soon as the pen starts going, I become interested in it all over again, and it's as if it's almost dictated to me, because I've been writing for 35 years, and it's attended a good deal of my work. At this point, I don't think I can do anything but confess that I am a student of violence, because of what it does, because of how it quickens the character of those around it.
You've also collected guns, right?
I've collected guns, yes.
And have you used them? What kind of things do you use them for?
I have not used a gun in 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
If I used them right now, I'd shoot beer cans at the city dump. It's a 22 rifle. No, I don't have any real personal urge to shoot anymore. It just passed. And I've never shot at a human being, never threatened a human being, if that's covering the subject.
So what did you use the guns for?
You know, this is a difficult thing to explain to others about how a gun is a piece of art. Guns are history. I like to look at the mechanism. I like to feel the heft. And they are a kind of history. So that's about all I can say. I don't collect guns anymore, but I'm not sorry for the ones I have. They just feel like a decent hunk of the past hanging on the wall.
Describe where you grew up.
I grew up in Clinton, Mississippi, which is right outside the state capital in Jackson. But it was a distinct village, about 2,000 people. With a little college, a little Baptist college, so that we had professors and for neighbors, and the culture of the Baptist church, the high school band, and the football team. That was it. That was civilization as I knew it. Also, there was no crime. We disappeared sometimes in the summer at 8 o'clock in the morning, didn't come back until 7 at night. There was no fear because we... the whole village took care of us.
Did you go to the Baptist church?
Oh, yes, I did. Yeah.
What was the oratory like in the church? And do you think that influenced your sense of storytelling or the way you write?
The preachers did not, but the Bible itself has. The rhythms of the Old and New Testament, in the King James Version, are just as solidly set in a person of my era who went to church as a moral foundation. I make my sentences, I'm sure, from biblical rhythms. I've been called postmodernist, but I doubt it. I think I just write in more fragmented ways and narration. But the base of my sentences, although they are sometimes baroque, is, I think, from the scriptures, as far as I can feel it myself. We read a lot of the Bible. We knew scriptures by heart, especially Psalms and a great bit of the book of John, the Sermon on the Mount and from Matthew, and certain things like that were memorized. And I had them memorized until I was 15, 16 years old.
Can you think of a line or a passage from the Bible that has the kind of rhythms that you're speaking of and how they influenced you?
Yes, it's something like the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow, and so on. This has just such wonderful, basic human poetry in it. And I never was sophisticated enough to consider the Bible as literature until I never even heard the term the Bible as literature until I was way into graduate school. So I'd stopped going to church, but the church is, the scriptures are very much with me, and more now I'm reading Mark and John in the Bible. Not all the time, but I just love the clarity and the mystery at the same time.
Well, I want to thank you so much for talking with us.
You bet.
Barry Hanna, recorded in July 2001. He died Monday of a heart attack at the age of 67. His work is the focus of this year's annual Oxford Conference for the Book, which began today. The conference is dedicated to him.